About a half an hour. Parshas Tetzaveh. So I'll try to say over again a few short ideas on the parsha. Some ideas I've seen in some. Some ideas I'll try to make a little bit. Some are not original. Some are a little bit original. Some are a little bit of a mix. A couple of ideas that I found to be interesting. First thing I found to be interesting. Okay, not everything you have to agree with. I'm not trying to make any political statements. The this week's Parshas Tetzaveh, to a certain degree, is connected to Parshas Truma. They're very similar. They deal with, Truma deals with the Mishkan, and Tetzaveh deals with the Big Day Kahuna, the clothing of the Kohanim wore when they did the Avodah in the Mishkan. And in fact, the parallel to Truma Tetzaveh is Parshas Tfiyak B'Kudei, and in certain years we actually read the two Parshios together. When Chazal selected, when you have to group Parshios together, they could have picked any two Parshios to put together. The fact that they selected Vayakal Pekudei shows that the theme of Vayakal Pekudei is related, and if those Parshios are related, certainly Parshas Truma Tetzaveh also, the parallel also related. So again, Truma deals with the Mishkan, and Tetzaveh deals with the Big Day Kahuna. So I saw a very nice idea. I don't know if this is a Medrash or it's just a gematria, some type of gematria. The last word of Parshas Truma is nechoshes. V'chol yisaid osav, v'chol yistas hechatzer nechoshes. All of the pegs and the pegs of the courtyard are nechoshes. The first word of Parshas Tetzav is ve'ata. Nechoshes is really a composite of two words. Nunches is noach, and shin sof is shes. Noach Sheis Ve'ata. Who is Ve'ata? And you Ve'ata Tetzaveh Es B'nei Yisrael Moshe Rabbeinu. Three people, Noach, Sheis, and Moshe. What's the connection Noach, Sheis, and Moshe? The world, or at least we, come from these three people. Adam had two sons originally, Cain and Hevel. Cain killed Hevel. No more Hevel. Cain was cursed for killing Hevel. He was banned. And none of Hevel's descendants, none of Cain's descendants survived. It came a point in time where they all ceased to exist. What happened after this terrible event of Cain killing Hevel? Noah had another son, Sheis. Kishos li elukim zera acher tachas Hevel ki harogo Cain. He had another son. Sheis, basically, this is very fascinating thing. Sheis basically was the replacement for Cain Hevel. Adam was created. He had two children to populate the world, Cain and Hevel. They failed. Cain, Hevel was murdered. He doesn't exist. Cain was a murderer, so he could not be the builder of the world. Hashem did not want a criminal to be the one that would be the one that would found the world. So no, Adam and Chava had to have another child, a new child, the second edition. Sheis, Kishas Lilakim. From Sheis, who came from Sheis? Noach. Everyone else in the world ceased to exist time of the Mabel. Everyone today is a descendant of Noach, including us, who are all B'nai Noach to a certain degree. And then, of course, a generation later came, Hashem selected Avram Avinu, Terach, Avraham, from the families that came down through Noach, and if we have Klal Yisrael, we're separate, we're not considered to be part of Noach. But the world does come from this process of Sheis, being the replacement of Cain and Hevel, then going to Noach, and then the Ata, you Moshe Rabbeinu, you who are instrumental in founding Klal Yisrael through the giving of the Torah. There's of course the Avos, but the Avos all climaxed in Moshe Rabbeinu in Matan Torah, what makes Klal Yisrael unique. These are the two parashios. What is the Mishkan? The Mishkan, the base is the base Hamidash, the Mishkan and Mikdash. Ki base tefillah, ki yikarei base tefillah l'chol ho'anim. The base Hamidash. How many tourists were there in the last year? Just saw an article. There were 10 million people came to visit Eretz Yisrael, the Kosel, in the last year. It's an amazing number. 10 million people, I think it said in the paper. 10 million tourists came to visit the Kosel. It's mind-boggling. It's a place for the whole world. It's not just, the Beis HaMikdash is not just for Klal Yisrael. It is for the entire world. However, not everyone can, you can come to the outside, in front of the Soireg, and you can be Mispala. I'm sure they had different temples and centers set up for the non-Jews to be mispalled in the Beis HaMikdash, Mokam HaShoyes HaShchina. The Avodah! That's only for Klal Yisrael, that's for Moshe Rabbeinu. That's the smichus of the two parashios. Parashas Truma, which deals with the structure, is Sheis v'Noach. The Goyim have a shaychus to the structure. In fact, you can take donations. Once the Beis HaMikdash has been built, you can take donations from the Goyim. You can't take the donations to build the Beis HaMikdash. But once it's been built, you can take donations. It's a structure. It's a mokoim. It's an attraction to come and daven, to pray, to participate, to be there, to be present. It's their mokoim as well. Sheis v'Noach. But the actual avoda, who wears the big day kahuna, the kohanim who go inside lefnai v'lefnim to bring the keteres to do the menorah, who walks inside ve'ata. Parashas Tetzaveh is meyuchet v'klal Yisrael. It's a shudves. Two parashios. Truma Tetzaveh. It's a shudves. Nechoshes ve'ata. Sheis Noach ve'ata. But the building, the mokoim, it's that's shaykh to sheis v'noyach. B'nei noyach. The atah is tetzaveh, the big day kahuna, the actual service that's done inside the Beis HaMikdash. It's a very interesting connection between these two parashas. I go to another idea, a short idea. This next parasha we learn about the choshen. The choshen, all the letters had 12 different stones for the 12 different shvatim. Now we know that the choshen, there was Urim v'tumim, there was a Shem Hashem inside the choshen, and whenever there was a question, a difficult question for Klal Yisrael, they would... We don't know how this worked. The Elazar HaKoyin, or the Koyin Gadol, whatever it was, would speak, would ask the question to the Choshen, and the letters would light up. The letters would light up. Chana, Chana, Kishera. Eli saw this woman davening, Sifsoseha, her lips were moving. Who is this woman? He asked the Udin Vitum, it's a Pella. He asked every person who walks in to the Kaisa. The lot of strange people that come to the Kaisa. He asked the Udin Vitum, every person. Okay, that's another shmooze in and of itself. But who? So he asked everything, the lights up. She, so he didn't know. He said the letters lit up. Shikoira, or is it Kashera? Okay. That means every letter of the Aleph base had to appear on the Udin Vitum. Problem is, Gemara's question, Gemara says that every letter had to appear on the Urim, so the Gemara, says in the Gemara, so the Gemara in Masechta Yoma says every letter. What about the Tzadi? Where's the letter Tzadi? The Gemara says, oh, the letter Tzadi. It said in the Div, it said Avraham Yitzchok V'Yaakov. In addition to whatever else it said on the letters, the Avos Avraham Yitzchok. Oh, very good. Then the Gemara says, what about the letter Tess? Where's the letter Tess? Shiftei Yeshurun. Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Shiftei Yeshurun. It said over there, okay, you go to all these nice picture books today, you open up, and there are so many beautiful books, they'll show you how the letters are. It's Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, all the old Shvatim, Shiftei Yeshurun. Okay, very. There's a very, very simple question. Doesn't the Gemara know the order of the Aleph Beis? What comes first? A Tess or a Tzadi? A Tess. Right? Tess. Denka. So the Gemara is going to ask these two questions, these two letters. Which one the Gemara should ask, where is the Tess? And then ask, where is the Tzadi? So the Chassam Sofer says a beautiful answer. I want to bring a little Jewish from this answer. But his answer is the truth is, what was written on the stones? We need all the letters of the Aleph Beis. So that there are two opinions in the Gemara. In the Gemara, in the Midrash, I'm not even sure. One opinion is the not the Shvatim, the Gemara is the name of the stone. Odem Pito Uvarekes Hatur Hoyachod Viatur Hashin Noifech Sapir Vyolo Viatur Hashish Leshem Shvo Viachloma Viatur Harviya Noifech Sapir. Okay, I've got all the names of the stones. You have to look up in the Psalm. The names of the stones. That's what was written on, not the Shvatim, that's one opinion. You have 12 stones. Beneath or above or on each stone was the name of the stone. The other opinion of the Gemara or the Medrash is not the name of the stones, but the names of the Shvatim. Each stone corresponded to one of the 12 Shvatim. The name of the Shvatim was written on the stone. So the Gemara, so the Chassam Sofer says, when the Gemara originally asked the question, the Gemara was of the opinion that the letters of the Aleph Beis that were printed or engraved on the stones were the names of the stone itself. One of the stones is Pitda. Pitma, I forgot what it is. Pitda, I think. Pitda. When you look in the parsha, when you lay in the parsha, you'll see. So there was a Tess. So all the letters are there. All the letters are there. There's a Tess. The Gemara didn't have a kasha, but when you go through all of the stones, the first letter that's missing when you read all the stones and the letters is the tzadi. So then the Gemara says, so where's the tzadi? The Gemara says, you're making a mistake. You have to read between the lines of the Gemara. They didn't write the letters of the stones on the name of the stone on the stone or above. They wrote the names of the Shvatim. The Shvatim. All the Shvatim. And it said Avram and the Shvatim plus the Avram, Yitzchak, the Yaakov, and Reuven, Shimon, Levi, God, so on. All the names of the Shvatim. So that's where the Tzadi was. Because Avram, Yitzchak. All the Shvatim were written, not the name of the stone. So where's the Tess? So the Gemara, the reason why the Gemara goes in order first, where is the Tess? Where is the Tzadi? And where is the Tess? Because the Gemara first understood that the name of the stone was written on the stone. Therefore, we do have a Tess. What we do not have is a Tzadi. The Gemara's answer is no, you're making a mistake. They did not write the name of the stone. They wrote the name of the Shvatim and the Avos. So that's why we have a Tzadi. Now that you've told me that we're changing to the name of the Shvatim and the Avos, so where then is the letter Tess? The answer is Shiftei Yeshua. This idea, I believe, is a mashal in life. The Choshen, the most valuable thing in the Beis HaMikdash, what was the most valuable thing? It wasn't the gold, it wasn't the silver, it wasn't the craftsmanship, it was the stones. These stones were extremely rare and valuable. They were worth more money than all the gold and silver. In fact, they were brought by the clouds. The Nassim wanted to bring them. The Nassim didn't bring them. These were priceless. Gold and silver you can buy. Even the Kruvim. The Kruvim, you can buy. Get enough money. You can buy bars of gold, pure gold. But precious stones, these type of stones, priceless. The most valuable thing. In life, you're young. Start off, what is life all about? Money. Money. You strive for materialism, wealth, ashirus, gashmius. You want the stones. And then you come to a certain point in time when you realize it's out of reach. You're missing something. The tzadi is missing. Tzadi can refer to a tzadik. You're missing something. And when you realize after your quest that Yeshiva for Ashiras, for the stones, the Odem, Pitta, Uvarekes, Hatur, Rechav, Yatur, Neufech, Sakir, you have all the beautiful stones you've achieved. Ashiras, Epis, something is missing. And then you begin to realize, you know what you're missing? The real value in life is not materialism, wealth, it's where you come from. You come from the Avos, Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov, the Shvatim, Reuven, Shimon, Levi, Yehuda, that's what you're missing. That's the real value in life. And then when you realize where you come from, what do you want? The Tess. What's the Tess? Toiv Hashem. Tess refers to the ultimate Toiv. Toiv refers to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu is Toiv Lakol. Then you come to recognize that you need to come on, you need to come on to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So review. It's a mashal for life. When you start out in life, you're looking at the stones. And you write in the letters, the names of the stones. And then you realize you're missing something. You're missing tzidkus, tzedek. Where is the tzadi? You then realize that real tzedek is not in money. It's in the shoroshim, where you come from the ovos, from the shvatim. And then when you focus on the shvatim, you focus, where does that take you to? That takes you to the letter tes. And the letter tes is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tov Hashem Lakol. So this is interesting, just a little bit of Jewish added into the Chassam Sofer. Okay, let me go to another idea, another short idea. Everyone knows the famous story with Dama ben Nissina. Dama ben Nissina was a non-Jew who was in possession of this vart is straight out of Torah Ladas, by Rav Matis Blum. It's a beautiful vart. Let me give you a hakdama, just a little bit of a background. We know that last week's parashah Shkolim. Why do we have parashah Shkolim? Hashem said in the Medrash, I knew that the time would come when Haman will be willing to pay Achashverosh 10,000 talents of silver for the Jewish people, Shkolim. So therefore, to counteract the Shkolim of Haman, I gave you the mitzvah of Machzis Hashekel. Your Shkolim will come. Your shkolim will preempt the shkolim of Haman. Okay, Dama ben Nesina was in possession of a very expensive stone that was needed for the Choshen. And the Jewish people, they got word that he had in his possession this stone. They came, and they were willing to pay him an enormous amount of money. What did Dama ben Nesina say? Sorry, my father's sleeping. Kibud avoi. I'm not giving you the stone. You have to wait. And in the meantime, I don't remember all the details. In the meantime, they went elsewhere. They went elsewhere and they got the stone. If I'm not mistaken, they got the stone from somewhere else. So the Gemara uses this story to illustrate the degree of kibud avoim a person should have. Even a goy, a non-Jew, he was going to lose an enormous amount of money. But in order not to disturb his father, the key to the vault was under his father's pillow. In order not to disturb his father, he was mechabed his father, was willing to lose an enormous amount of money. Gemara tells us the next year he was rewarded for his kindness, for the kibud avoim. A paraduma was born into his herd, and he got all the money back. Okay, there's a lot of drush. Kibud avoim is a mitzichlius, and paraduma is a mitzvah, is a choyk. Everyone knows all the Torah. As I saw yesterday, fascinating idea. Which stone were they trying to retrieve from Dam ben Nesina? There are 12 stones. Oyden pit of rekas atur chad atur shi nefek sapi neyelam v'atur hashli shi leshem shov v'yachol v'atur vi tar shi shoham v'yoshve. 12 stones. Which stone? So it says in the Medrash, I don't know which Medrash, it says it was the Yoshve. It was the Yoshve stone they were trying to retrieve from Dam. That was the stone they could not find. They had the other 11. Whose stone is the Yoshve? Each stone corresponds to one of the 12 Shvatim. Binyamin. Binyamin, he is Yoshve. Yeshpeh. Yoshve, the Chazal say, it was Yeshpeh. Binyamin. Why Binyamin? What's about Binyamin? The answer is, this is a Chazal. I don't know where this comes from. A lot of these things I'm just rattling off. It's hard for me to go dig up all the sources on short notice. But there's a Chazal that says that Binyamin was Mechabed his father for 22 years. In other words, Binyamin knew that the brothers sold Yosef. He knew it. And Binyamin was Mishamish's father, and Binyamin wanted that the brothers would never tell their father that they sold Yosef, because if they would tell the father they sold Yosef, they would be guilty. But Binyamin knew. Yaakov was languishing away. My son Yosef has died. Binyamin could have told his father, "Oh, Yosef Chai, he's still alive." Binyamin made a decision, it would be better not to tell Yaakov Avinu that Yosef is really alive, because the tsar that Yaakov would have in hearing that his own children were so cruel to sell their brother would be greater, this was his cheshbon, would be greater than the tsar in thinking that he died. Binyamin said, it's better my father should think that my brother Yosef died and mourn his death and suffer that pain, than to know that his 10 other children sold their brother as a slave to Egypt. That was his mindset. And Chazal seemed to say that he was correct. Everyone is different, of course. You know, everyone, you can't... This was, Yaakov was an Ish Kadosh, to know that his children were Achzarim, to do such a terrible thing like this. We have the Asar Gemalchus and all this, still the Torah. This was his decision. But yet, it was a tough call. And he struggled with this decision. And Chazal say that he was mechabed his father for 22 years. He's the ultimate kibud avoim. They use Binyamin. It's an unbelievable thing. They use Binyamin as an example of the ultimate kibud avoim of seeing his father suffering. To go through this dilemma in his mind. What would be more tzar for my father? I mean, you have to think about this deeply. What would be more tzar? This dilemma. He struggled for 22 years to do the best thing for my father. And he always came out to the conclusion, better not tell my father. This was an incredible, incredible degree of kibud avoim for 22 years. So the Torah Ladas says, unbelievable, beautiful idea, Hashem preempted the kitrug on Klal Yisrael with Dabin. Dabin Asina was a very big kitrug. Look how a goy is mechabed his father. Are we mechabed our parents like the goy? Are we mechabed our parents? Look at this guy, what he did. It's a kitrug, a terrible kitrug in Klal Yisrael. He gave up $1 billion for this. So Hashem created the anti, the refuah kaidim l'maka. What was the refuah kaidim l'maka? What stone were they trying to retrieve? The Yoshveh, Binyamin stone. Binyamin. Binyamin was mechaber his father for 22 years. This guy was in his son for 10 minutes. His father was sleeping. Better not wake up my father for 10 minutes. Ain't it doime? Kibud avo ain't for 22 years. Then a little kibud avo ain't for a couple of minutes. Memela, this was the antidote, the preemption of the kidra that came to Klal Yisrael from what? From Dam ben Asina. Okay, go to another idea. This idea I like very much. It's a lot of chayus in this idea. A little bit about Purim and a little bit about the parasha. One of the very difficult issue in this week's parasha is the very end of the parasha. End of the parasha deals with the Ketores, Mizbeach Hazav. What in the world is Shvi, laying the parasha tomorrow, you come to Shvi, the Mizbeach Hazav, what in the world is the Mizbeach Hazav doing in Parshas Tetzaveh? It doesn't belong here. The Mizbeach Hazav belongs in Parshas Terumah. Terumah is about the structure, the Mishkan. It's about the Kelim, the Aron, the Shulchan, the Menorah. The Mizbeach Hazav perfectly fits in Parshas Terumah. Right, if the Mizbeach Hazav, when you take Shvi from this week's Parsha and put it, Parshas Terumah, you wouldn't blink. You wouldn't blink. Of course, it's only natural. You have the structure, the Chatzer, the Mishkan, you have the Oroin, the Mizbech and the Choshes, the Menorah, the Shulchan, the Mizbech Azov, right? This is like ABC. No. Here, Parsh Tzav, the Bidei Kahuna, the four begotten for the Kohen, the Kohen God, last eight. Oh, all of a sudden, by the way, don't forget there's a Mizbech Azov. It's a very difficult question. And you look in the Rishonim, they're all playing with this. They're all talking about this. All these answers and ends and answers they try to give to explain where it comes from. I didn't prepare to look into the answers, the common answers, but there are, if you look in the Parshanim on the Parsha, you'll find right away a discussion. I'd like to suggest a drush why it's in Parshas Tetzaveh. Let me give a little hagdama. The most important thing a person needs in this world, present company included, is to be appreciated. If you do something, and they don't appreciate you. This has no meaning. Let's say you go for a job, and you have a postdoctorate, right? A postdoctorate, and you're applying to be a babysitter. You're overqualified, right? You're overqualified. They're not going to appreciate your skills, what you have. Let's say you have a Harvard education, and you're applying for a job that they would give anyone from any college you don't even heard about. They don't appreciate. I have a degree from Harvard. I have MBA at Wharton. I'm not just a guy. You have to. If a person does not feel appreciated, it's horrible. It's a churban, ultimate churban. In this week's parsha, we learn about the Big Day Kahuna. Kohen head, you wear four begot. The Kohen Gadol wears special clothing. Choshen, ephod, me'il. It's unbelievable. Special hat. It's incredible what he's wearing. You learn the parish just to take out all the new swam. They show you the pictures of what they look like. There's an incredible accomplishment to create these clothing and to understand what they mean and to be zoche to the person who wears these clothing. It's incredible. Does any part of the Beis HaMikdash appreciate the Kohen Gadol? Kohen Gadol walks into the Beis HaMikdash. Today he has rights. Eminent domain. I today want to be matir. I want today to bring carbon oil. I'm going to bring the Tamar Shel Shachar. All the Kohanim go on vacation. Today's my day. I'm doing whatever I want today. I'm going to light the menorah today. I'm going to do the oil. Everyone get out. He wins. That's the halach. Kohen Gadol can walk into the base mission and tell everyone, get out. I have rights. I have kedima. So the menorah sees the Kohen Gadol coming. Let's say if the menorah could speak, would the menorah say, wow, today we're lucky, the Kohen Gadol is coming to do the Hadlakas Haneris? The menorah says, who are you? I don't need you. Overqualified. I don't appreciate you. Big deal. You're coming here to be your Kohen Gadol. A Kohen head, you can do the Avodah, can do the Hadlakas Haneris. I don't need all the bells and whistles, the Mi'il, and Choshen, the Eifer. Overqualified, Mr. Kohen Gadol. I don't appreciate the fact that you are the one that is doing the halakha saneris instead of the simple 18-year-old, you have to be 20 years old, who even a bar mitzvah boy can do the avodah.
Let's say he goes and he brings the Tamid Shel Shachar, Tamid Shel Ben Arbayim, same exact thing. Overqualified. Okay, it's nice, it's very nice, it's very pleasant. Where would be a place in the Beis HaMikdash where the Kohen would be appreciated? Kodesh HaKadoshim. The only in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, this is miyuchid for who? For the Kohen Gadol. Once a year, the Kohen Gadol says, oh, here is a mokoyim where appreciates the company. This is a place. Ah, the Kohen Gadol, you are the Kohen. Shemen HaMishcha, you're anointed. But the Kohen Gadol, when he walks into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, is not allowed to wear the Big Day Kahuna. He's not allowed to wear the extra four garments. He has to wear the Big Day Lovan, only like a regular Kohen. You're not allowed because Ein Katego Nasas and Egel. Really, ideally, he should have been allowed to, but because of the Chedo Egel, that's the way it is. From day one, never happened. The Kohen Gadol was allowed to walk into the Kodesh HaKadoshim wearing the Big Day Kahuna. So here's the only one place in the Beis HaMikdash where I would have been appreciated for who I am and what I'm wearing. And yet, look at that, I have to walk in here without my garments, without my special clothing. So, it's unbelievable. We have a whole parsha describing the Big Day Kahuna. Most of it is devoted to the Big Day Kahuna, the Kohen Gadol, the special clothing. And the truth is, no one really appreciates the Kohen Gadol. All of the Kalim, which are for the Avodah, he's overqualified. In the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the place where he would be qualified, sorry, we're close to business. You can come there once a year, but when you come there, don't bring in your fancy clothing because we don't want to Inka take an asaneg. There's no appreciation for the Big Day Kahuna. But there's one place where the Kohen Gadol is appreciated. And that is the Mizbeach HaZohav. The little Mizbeach, one arm by one amma, in the Heichal, not in the Kodesh HaKadosh, in the Heichal, because there's something that is fascinating about this Mizbeach HaZohav. The very end of the parasha. This Mizbeach HaZohav is called Kodesh Kodashim. End of the parasha. All the Kalim. The Kalim is Kodesh, it's holy, but V'chiper Aharon al Karnoisov, Aaron will sprinkle the blood on the Mizbech, as you bring the spar, the serm sechta yomo, you bring achas bashana, midam chatas hakipurim, achas bashana yichaper olav hatladoro seichem, Kodesh Kodoshim hu laHashem. Rashi, what's Kodesh Kodoshim? HaMizbeach. The Mizbeach HaZohav is Kodesh Kodoshim. Not the Shulchan, not the Mizbech HaNechoshes, not the Menorah, nothing. The only thing, not even the Oron, is Kodesh Kodashim. The Oron is located in an area, in a Rishus, that's called Kodesh Kodashim. But the Shul, the Mizbech HaZov, is Kodesh Kodashim. HaMizbech Mekudesh L'Dvarim Halalu B'Gvar V'Loi L'Avodah, it's Kodesh Kodashim. Oh, Kodesh Kodashim. The only one that goes into the Kodesh HaKodashim is who? The Kohen Gadol. So Kodesh HaKadoshim is shaykh to the Kohen Gadol. But when he goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, he doesn't wear the Big Day, he doesn't wear his special clothing. But when the Kohen Gadol goes to the Mizbeach HaZohav, an object, a utensil that's Kodesh HaKadoshim, even though it's true that on a regular day any ordinary Kohen can do the Avodah, because that the Mizbeach HaZohav is Keteres twice a day, but when the Kohen Gadol decides to take Kedima, to step forward and do the Avodah on the Mizbeach HaZohav says, ah, I appreciate who has come today. Because I'm Kodesh Kodashim, and you're Kodesh Kodashim. And you are dressed in your clothing that represent the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Although on a normal day I only get my regular customers who come here in the regular, but today I appreciate. I have a full degree of appreciation for who is here today. That is why the Mizbeach HaZohav is in Parshas Tetzaveh. Because Parshas Tetzaveh is all about the Big Day Kahuna. And the problem with the Big Day Kahuna of the Kohen Gadol is it's not appreciated. Who needs the Big Day Kahuna? The Kalim, the service. The service is kosher with a regular person. You don't need a Kohen Gadol. The Kodesh HaKadoshim, well, you do need a Kohen Gadol? Guess what? He doesn't walk in with the Big Day Kahuna. The only time where the Big Day Kahuna is appreciated is when he comes to do the Avodah on the Mizbeach HaZohav of the Kedars. Okay, one more part, my last one. This part, this is a Gevaldig part. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Okay, it's not going to take long, this part. This vod I find to be amazing. This is an amazing vod. I saw this in one of my Sefer. He puts out a Sefer every year.
I wrote that to read you because I can't read it. I can't say remember it from memory. It's Pasuk in Yeshaya. He draws from. It's a beautiful, beautiful idea. He quotes a Medrash. Okay, you know all the Medrashim. And listen to this Medrash. Some of you have heard this Medrash. Okay, here's the Medrash. Medrash comes from Medrash Hanelam. Did you hear that?
Heard of it.
Okay, you heard of it. This is what it says in Medrash Hanelam. Vezelashonai. It's going on the Pasuk in Yishai Perik Nun. And Perik Nun was the latest Pasuk at one of the half terrors. Klema Hashem. Eze Sefer Christus Imchem. That's the Pasuk I want. But the point, the end of the Pasuk is Uve Fish Eichem Shulcha Imchem. Due to your sins, your mother has been sent away. Hashem is speaking. Hashem is saying, I'm your mother. That's what the Pasuk means. A similar understanding. Ba'avur ha'pesham nishlecha hachnisim shalachem. Okay, whatever it means. Imchem is k'nisya shalachem. Because of your sin, shilcha imchem. Okay, so it means your mother. Your mother has been sent away due to your sins. You've sinned. Your mother has been sent away. Hashem, I'm leaving. I'm leaving the Beit. The Shechina is departing from the Beit HaMikdash. The Medrash says, here's the Medrash. Kad Yisrael Chayovin, when the Jewish people are guilty, Iskayim Behoinael, fulfill among them, Uve Pish Eichem Shulcha Imchem. And then the Medrash goes on, and then what's going to happen? You'll be left the Ishtaher Emchatz. I don't even know what that means. It must be some word. You'll be left with Emchatz. It means something, I don't know. And then it goes on to say that eventually, eventually when you'll do tshuva, then you will complete the eight begotten. You have to see the whole Medrash inside. But basically, when you're sinners, shulcha imchem, and you laugh with emchatz, but the time will come when you'll do tshuva, I will dress in eight begotten. What does this mean? So he brings down all these gedolim that have said this Medrash, no one knows what it means. It's a pella, it doesn't make any sense. There's more to the Medrash. It's sosum, it's sealed. But he found the pshat, and he also, very difficult what he says, so I want to elaborate. There are eight begadim. The word imchem is Rosh Tevos for the four begadim of a kohen hedyot. Mm-hmm. Aleph is the avnate. The mem is the michnosayim, the pants. The chof is the kesoines, the tunic. And the mem is the mitznefes. The four begotten an ordinary kohen hedyot wears. When you sin, Hashem says, I'm going to take off my four begotten. And all I'll be left with is what? Emchatz. What is emchatz? Emchatz is, aleph is the ephod. The mem is the me'il. The ches is the choshen. And the tzadi is the tzitz. So Hashem says, due to your sins, Hashem is the Kohen Gadol. It's a fair Shemar. The word says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, how did Hashem bury Moshe Rabbeinu? Zainad, how did Hashem bury Moshe? But Hashem is a Kohen. Hashem is a Kohen. He can't be Metameh. And then the Gemara, how is he Metameh? Where's Mikvah? Mayim? Fire? What's going on? The Gemara says, Hashem is a Kohen. Hashem is a Kohen. Hashem is really the Kohen Gadol. Hashem, if you sin, I'm taking off my four begotten, I'm only going to wear the other four begotten in Galus. But when you'll do tshuva, then I'll put back on my other four begotten. So the whole focus, the thrust of this mystical Shevili Pinchas, a beautiful Sefer, Pinchas Horowitz, says a lot of Yanni Kabbalah, he says, what does this mean? That you would expect that in Galus, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tei Avgash, is the Kohen Gadol, and Hashem wears eight begotten, so in Galus, Hashem will take off the four special begotten, the ephod and the eel that sits in the choshen, and be left with the four regular begotten. No, I'm going to wear the four nice begotten, but I'm going to take off the four simple begotten, the ksoines, the mechnesayim, the avnei, and the mitznefet. I'm going to take those off. Doesn't make sense, right? You think the other way around. So he's mefalpel in this, all different, Yanni Kabbalah, what this means. I want to just say a very simple pshat, what it means. We live in Galus today. In Galus today, Kaviyachol, it's never been so good. I'm not just saying it's been good. You know,
today the mitzvos are done in the most mechududik way. Lulav, everyone has a dairy lulav. Esrog, you have a few esrogim. You can't even find a spot. Years ago, no, who had it? Esrogim, the whole city had one esrog. Sukkah, go through every single Yom Tov. Never in the history of the world has there been a time where the mitzvos are fulfilled with the most beautiful hiddur and in the most beautiful way, and the opportunities are available for every person to do what he wants and to mekayim, whether you choose to do so, not choose to do so, but b'derech klal, the opportunities are there, the mitzvos are available for everyone to do according to the greatest hiddurim that are required al pi halacha, like never before. So, but what's missing then? Why then are we still in Golis? We're missing the fundamentals. That's what we're missing today. We're missing true Yerushalayim. We're missing the pnimius is what we're missing today. In Golis, Hashem says, due to your sins, I'm leaving the Beis HaMikdash. The Shechina is going to depart. There'll be a Churban. You're going to go into Golis. And I, Hashem says, you'll relate to me like a Kohen Gadol who is wearing the four special beautiful begadim, but underneath he's wearing a nice pair of pants, a nice t-shirt, and a nice designer belt, and a nice, very nice porcelino hat. And on top of that, beautiful me'il with the choshen and the ephod, and it sits kodesh l'Hashem. That's exactly what Hashem is saying Golis is going to be like for you. We're going to Golis. It's going to be beautiful. You're going to relate to me, the Kohen Gadol, with the most beautiful hiddur, Pesach and Purim and Sukkot and the Chagim, the Moadim, and everything is the utmost yoifi in hiddur. But you know what you're missing? You're missing the Nechnasayim, the Kesoines. You're missing the covering of your head, which represents Kisui Zira Shemayim. In Golis, you're missing the fundamentals. There's something missing in the Yira Shemayim, in the Pnimius, in the simple Emunah Pshuta, which is primary. It's not important. That's Pshat in the Medrash. Shilcha Imchem, the Avneid, the Michnasayim, the Kesoines, and the Mitznefes. But I'll still wear the Dice of Agadim. But if you'll do tshuva, then I'll once again put on my four begadim. And he ties in, it's beautiful. This is a Gemara. It's a real shame that we don't say this every day in Davin. But in the Gemara Masechet Brachos, where there's so many nusachos tefillah, most of them have made their way into our tefillahs in some shape or form. But there's one nusach which I don't think it's not common. The nusach is the Gemara Brachos. Rabbi Yochanan. Boss of the Messiah mitzvot, when he finished davening, he would say, "Amay, would say, Hachi, Yirotzam l'fanach Hashem alochinu shetotzitz bivashtenu." May you look at our embarrassment, the sabit bira asenu, and look at all of the evil that has come upon us. And Hashem, this sislabesh, may you dress yourself berachamecha. This siskaseh, may you cover yourself beuzecha with your might. This sisateif, and may you put a head covering bechasidusecha with your piousness. This seezor, and may you gird yourself. Four different expressions of dressing. Sislavesh, sischase, sisateif, and the sisazor. For these four expressions refer to the four begadim that Hashem has taken off in Golis. The word tislavesh refers to the kesoines, the hilbashtam kutonos, we find these words, the kesoines. The second word, the sischase, we find by the michnasayim, kesoines bad, by the michnasay bad yilbash, michnasayim, these four different expressions we find by, and the satav is by the mitznefes, is the mitznefes, and the sisazor, we find that is by the Adni. Finally, after he brings on the Pesukim, we find Mamash and Nechumash, we find that these four expressions are reference to the four regular begadim of the regular Kohen Hegel that he wears. So when we're mispalel, that Hashem should put on the four regular begadim, not wear the t-shirt and the pair of pants and the fundamentals is what's missing. The beautiful Choshen, Eifoy, and the Tzitz. Can you imagine the Tzitz? We have the Tzitz today. Kodesh la Hashem. But we don't have the fundamentals.
That's what this pasuk here means. Shulcha imachem. Okay, we'll stop here. Mr. Shem, we'll see you on Monday. Monday. Parsha Zocha. Yes, Parsha Zocha. Big Parsha this week.
Everything on top and underneath it all.